today on Real Radio.
That's why I love him. I got to be honest with you. I don't love him because it was a nice sunset. I don't love him because I have food in my tummy. I don't love him because I have shoes on. Those things are nice benefits. Don't get me wrong. I thank God for them, right? But I love him because he first loved me. Well, how did he do that? He went to the cross.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called God Knows, Part 1, continues a series now called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. We're so glad you joined us today. You know, God gave the prophet Isaiah an awesome responsibility. He was not only to magnify the Lord as the Holy One of Israel, but also to point us toward the Messiah, Jesus Christ, as the Anointed One. And some of Isaiah's prophecies extend far into the future, when deliverance will finally come to Israel during the 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth. In Isaiah chapter 47, we were reminded of how God's great power will intervene on Israel's behalf. If foreign leaders decide to attack Israel, it's not going to go well for them. But the Lord promises to bless those nations who bless Israel and support its borders. The nations who practice false worship systems, however, are evil in God's sight. Enchantments, spells, palm reading, or the practice of sorcery, astrology, and witchcraft will not profit you. So today on day 2 of chapter 48, Pastor Jack tells us that God knows what's in our hearts. Israel tried to blame their carved idols for their bad behavior, but God, in His incredible mercy, restrains His anger. He will not destroy us because He, in turn, put the blame on His Son, Jesus Christ, the one who took our place on the cross for our sins. And now, continuing his lesson called God Knows, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Matthew 7, verse 20, Jesus said, "Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day," that's the day of judgment, "'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name?'" Yikes, wow. "Have we not preached in your name?" That's what that means. So apparently in Matthew 7, 22, there's going to be preachers standing before God on the day of judgment. And let's see what happens. "Didn't we cast out demons in your name? Done many wonders or miracles in your name?" Okay, stop right there. Clearly, preaching, doing wonderful works and casting out demons and miracles, clearly, friend, it's obvious from the Bible, you can't go to heaven doing those things. God's not going to let you in. "Well, I've got this certain lifestyle, or I believe this, or I'm this way, or I believe sometimes that. It doesn't matter. I can do miraculous things." According to Jesus, there's going to be those standing before God on the day of judgment that can do miracles, and they're not going to be let in. Does that cause you to kind of sit up a little bit? This is powerful stuff. Look at verse 23. "And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Why? What happened? They had the confession, they had the works, but they never had a true relationship with Jesus Christ. He said, "Well, then how did they do miracles?" Well, let me ask you this. When Jesus sent out the 12 disciples to go do miracles and preach, wasn't Judas with them? Doesn't the Bible tell us that in the last days there'll be false teachers and false prophets doing signs and wonders that if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived? Very strong words. God knows the confession. Number 2, look, verses 3 through 8. God knows what is in the heart. He says, "I have declared the former things from the beginning. They went forth from my mouth, and I caused them to hear it." God is saying how he speaks the future in advance. "Suddenly I did them, and they came to pass." So again, God is announcing the fact that he, above all idols, above all foreign gods, above all man-made gods, God is saying, "I know the future, and I know what's in your heart." He's speaking to them. Verse 4, "Because I knew that you were obstinate," listen to this, "and your neck was an iron sinew, and your brow bronze. Even from the beginning, I have declared it to you. Before it came to pass, I proclaimed it to you, lest you should say, my idol has done them or done this, and my carved images and my molded image have commanded them. So God is saying, I have spoken in advance. I've had it written down by the prophets. I've told you the future, and I'm telling it to you now. You're going to be chastised and disciplined because you're going to turn from me, and it's going to cost you. And so I had it written down because you guys were so prone, he was saying, to give credit to idols because they had become idol worshipers. It's insane. It's bizarre, but that's what they did. And this is one of the awesome truths about the God that you and I serve. He doesn't wipe people off the planet if they err, if they run away. Aren't you glad for that? Listen, when you have sinned against God, when you have offended him, isn't it amazing? He sends warning. He sends discipline. He doesn't destroy you. We need to remember that. He doesn't wipe you off and say, I can make somebody else just like you, but better. He doesn't do that. God is going to work with you. God is at work in you right now. Whoever you may be tonight, God's working in your life. He finishes a project. He starts something and he's faithful to complete whatever he's doing all the way through to the end. And he's announcing, I've told you this in advance. He's telling them, though they've gotten in big trouble, he's speaking to them, cheer up. I'm not going to abandon you and what's about to happen to you. I'm not going to give up on you. So verse 6, he goes on, he says, you have heard, see all this, and you will not declare it. I have made you hear new things from this time, even hidden things, and you did not know them. Verse 7, they are created now and not from the beginning, and before this day you have not heard them, lest you should say, of course, I knew them. Surely you did not hear, surely you did not know, surely from long ago your ear was not open. So he's rebuking them for their obstinance, for their stubbornness. Now, listen to this. For I knew that you would deal very treacherously and were called a transgressor from the womb. Church, listen, God is announcing that of his people, and you've heard it said before, why would God choose the Jewish people? They're his chosen people. Are they not his chosen people? Yes, they're his chosen people. So watch, follow me, and this might be sensitive, but hear me out. We know about the Jewish people in Israel from the Bible and from history. There has been no group of people on the planet persecuted more than the Jew throughout human history. Nobody comes close. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what financial level you're at. No one compares to the persecution of the Jews. They have had it the worst. Why? They're God's chosen people, like Tevye in Fiddler on the Roof. You ever seen that old show? God, I know where the... I love that. You should rent it, by the way. He says, God, I know we're the chosen people, but can you do us a favor and choose someone else for a while? Well, that's cute, but very inaccurate. God called them, he chose them, and he blessed them. And then he says, listen, I want you to know I chose you, not because you're super special. He says, I chose you because you are a tough, stubborn people. What does that mean? That means that throughout all of human history, people will have hope that if I can save a Jew and the Jewish people, I can save anybody. And the Jew is the person walking around the planet today that is a walking witness of the amazing grace and the relentless pursuit of God for a soul. I mean, he doesn't give up. He doesn't stop. And he says, you're obstinate. Your neck is like iron. You're so opinionated. You're so hard-nosed about stuff. You're so inflexible. You won't listen. You do your own thing. God says, but I'm going to do a work with you. And he says, by the way, this is true for all of us. You're a transgressor from birth. That's true for all of us, church. We're all transgressors from birth. Little James Patrick a moment ago, cute little guy, so cute. And he's a sinner. He just doesn't have the motor skills yet to develop it. It's true though, it's in all of us. He's as cute as a button. So were you at one time, so was I. But listen, It's not going to be long before you, mom and dad, start seeing what we've all seen, what our parents saw, a temper tantrum, flare up. They're going to have to teach him how to tell the truth. Did you know that? No, not him. He's so cute. Oh, no. Listen, you're going to have to teach him how to tell the truth, because somewhere within the human, we already know how to lie. Did you take the cookie? I never touched it. And there's crumbs on the face, around the mouth, on the lips. I never saw the cookie. Where do kids get that from? We get that because we're born transgressors. And the word transgressor is powerful. It means to cross the line defiantly. And if you've ever had a three-year-old, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Don't go in the street. And they were fine until you said it. They're playing in the yard, everything's fine. And they say, hey, listen, don't go in the street. You should have just not said anything. Because as soon as there's a rule, as soon as there's a law, don't go over 55. Really? And you tell a kid, don't cross that line. And that's then they go like this. And that cute little sinner goes just like this. They look right back at you. Don't they look right at your face? They cross the line and then they go, are you man enough? Are you man enough to take on all 35 pounds of me? I'll hit you with this diaper if you come after me. It's in them. It's in all of us. We laugh because we know it's true. God knows what's in the heart. Transgressors. From birth, the Bible says. The third thing that we see tonight is verses 9 through 11. And it's this. For my name's sake, I will defer my anger, and for my praise, I will restrain it from you so that I do not cut you off. I read that verse and I went, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Look what he's saying. For my name's sake. Listen, God, look, are you a Christian tonight? If you're a true follower of Jesus, God, in his incredible mercy, even if today as a true believer, you walk away from God and you go down a path you ought not to be going, do you know what God will do? God will say, for my own name's sake, I am not going to obliterate you. I'm not going to put my thumb down out of a cloud and smash you like an ant. I'm going to defer that. And that's key. That's spoken in Isaiah. By the way, listen, church, tonight in the 21st century, God does not do any longer verse 9. Listen, he does not defer his anger anymore. And listen, he does not restrain. You say, wait, what are you saying? What are you saying? I'm saying 2,000 years ago, he took his anger that was deferred back in the book of Isaiah, nearly a thousand years before Jesus, he turned and he put that on Christ himself. Listen, as a believer, God does not, when you backslide and mess up, when you cross that line or you go over 55 miles an hour, God doesn't go like this. He will convict you. But listen, the power of the conviction comes from the point of the cross, from Christ. He convicts you saying you ought not to have done that. That's a sin, and that's what put Christ on the cross. And listen, he's not going to destroy you. You run to the cross. Why? Because his anger was deferred to someone else. And you know his name. His name is Jesus. It's very awesome. It's an important, powerful thing to remember. So how does God refrain from that? How does God not cut you off? Here's the answer. Isaiah 53, verse 5. Isaiah 53, verse 5, starting there. But he, the Messiah. Remember, this is 743 years before Jesus was born in Bethlehem. The prophet speaks. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes or his beatings, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned everyone to his own way. Is that not true? Transgressors we are. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Well, that answers to Isaiah 53, but there's more. 2 Corinthians 5:19. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, notice, not imputing their trespasses, transgressions to them. There's the answer. How does God do that? When God says, I'm going to defer my anger. Church, we have a problem in the realm or in the throne room of God. God is holy. And Israel has sinned against God. And God says, you know what? Instead of me crushing you and making you pay for your sins, I'm going to defer. I'm going to kick that can down the road, so to speak. And that can is going to be kicked down the road. Good for you. Lucky for you. Not lucky. The luck of the Lord be with you. No, not kidding. No luck involved at all. My grace, my mercy. I'm going to kick that anger of my judgment down the road, and that can is going to land, as it were, in the lap of Jesus, and he's going to carry that. He's going to take it for you. He's going to take the heat. He's going to take the pressure. He's going to take the judgment at the cross. That's what the cross is all about. In that moment when the Lamb of God was crucified for our sins, God laid on him the iniquity of us all. And by the way, it not only means believer, it means non-believer. Timothy tells us, Paul tells us in the book of Timothy, that Jesus Christ died for the sins of the entire world. Imagine that. Nobody should be going to hell tonight. Nobody should go to hell tonight. You've got to crawl over the body of Jesus to get to hell tonight. You've got to take God's free gift of eternal life that Jesus paid for with his blood, and you've got to shun God, throw him off. You've got to be just like the children of Israel that as they were of old. Nope, not going to do this. And refuse God. Here's the thing now. God deferred, and it went to Christ. Jesus paid the price. He ain't going to die again because of your rebellion. God tells you, look back to my son, go to the cross, tap into his forgiveness, go to him in repentance. He'll change your life. If you say, nope, that's the sin. That's it. Because Jesus died for all the sins of the world. That's the sin that will throw you in headlong straight into hell, is rejecting God's gift of eternal life. It was the ticket, the life raft. It was the very thing you needed to get out of that mess. And you told God, I don't need you. And you leave him with no options. He's not going to sacrifice his son again. That was once and for all. There's no other way. There's nothing to give you. He loves you that much. Boy, that's sure narrow, Pastor. Of course it's narrow. It was the life of God on the cross. How many times do you have to do that? Just once. His death was that powerful. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 tells us what was going on at the cross. I love this, by the way. Colossians 2:13. It starts there by saying, and you being dead in your trespasses or transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Somebody ask, how? 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 Good question. Verse 14 is the answer. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. That means the law that we broke. And he has taken it out of the way. Somebody ask how? Glad you asked. Having nailed it to the cross. Look at that verse. Jesus goes to the cross. He takes all of the offenses that you and I committed in our lives. Isn't that amazing? You don't even know them all. You can't even count them all. Your entire life. And even if you think you can, Pastor, I've been really good. Okay, well, so what? Here's the deal. God even judges our motives. He knows why we do what we do. Even if we do really good things, why are we doing those good things? Are we doing those good things to get brownie points with God? Is that the motive? Are we doing those good things so somebody see us? Why do we do what we do? Listen, whatever it is, the fact of the matter is, our sin, the Bible says, and look what it in Colossians, he nailed it all. All of Jack's sins, from the moment that I committed my first sin to the day I die, I'm assuming if I'm in a coma, I don't know if I can sin in a coma, but the last time I draw my breath, Christ died for my sins. That's what he did at the cross. And God laid on Jesus all those things that I did. That's why I love him. I got to be honest with you. I don't love him because it was a nice sunset. I don't love him because I have food in my tummy. I don't love him because I have shoes on. Those things are nice benefits. Don't get me wrong. I thank God for them, right? but I love him because he first loved me. Well, how did he do that? He went to the cross. No greater love than a man has, and he laid down his life for his friends. And Jesus said, and now I call you friends. Oh my goodness, Lord, thank you. That's why we worship him. That's why we sing his praises. Listen, that's why we want to follow him. He's good to us. He's so good to us that he even disciplines us when we get out of hand. In verse 10, he says, behold, I have refined you. Refined. Put you in the fire. Not as silver. I've tested you in the furnace of affliction. Yikes. Somebody mark that verse. Verse 10, is this going on in your life? Are you a believer? Are you in the furnace of affliction? Take that verse. God says, I'm working in your life. I'm doing something. Does it hurt? Are you sick? Are you brokenhearted? Are you being stretched right now? Hang in there. Church, I'm telling you, hang in there. For the first time in 2 years with my insomnia, I feel like I'm starting to feel planet Earth again a little bit. There's no explanation for it except you're praying. You guys are praying. I'm feeling physically better. I'm feeling mentally better. For so long, for months on end, I felt like in a complete daze, I would touch things and I couldn't actually feel what I was touching. I didn't know if I said something 2 minutes ago, if I had said it before. It was so, when you, with sleeplessness, it's so mean. It's so cruel to not be able to sleep. And yet I something's happening. And let me tell you, I'm at this point right now where it is this. God, I don't understand it. Nobody understands it. There's no answer for this. Look, if I was sleeping around doing drugs, porn, I could see God judging me. I checked all the bases 2 years ago and all the way through. Nothing's wrong. Nothing's wrong. Everything's fine. Okay? Here's the deal. What's the deal? Lord, I've given up looking for an answer. Here's the thing. God made it so clear to my heart. I'm doing something. I'm refining you. And you know what? That's okay with me. And I'm at this point right now tonight. Lord, thank you for the last 2 years. I wouldn't change a thing. Wouldn't change a thing. And I want to encourage you. You might be at that point. Listen, you may be here tonight and you're saying, you know what, that's it. I'm done. I'm done with my life, or I'm done with this relationship, or I'm done with this business, or I'm done with this whatever. And you say, that's it. I can't. Hey, are you a believer? Yes. God is refining you.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio. In a message called God Knows Part 1. Thanks for taking the time to be with us today. And as awesome and powerful as God is, and as the one who knows all things, he wants you to know him. God Knows Part 1 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. It's a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before Jesus was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, did you know that Pastor Jack has some podcasts available at the website? They're called Real Life Talk. And all you got to do to watch is go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on the media icon. Once you're there, simply go to Real Life Talk Podcasts with Jack Hibbs, or you can join him wherever you get your podcasts and search for Real Life Talk. Pastor Jack has a lot to say on important topics that are real, sometimes raw, but very relevant in today's culture. Subjects like gun violence, abortion, and the sex education crisis in California. And don't forget, Pastor Jack's also on Facebook, Real Life TV, as well as Instagram and YouTube. It's all right there when you connect with us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You can also help support this ministry by donating on the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app, or just go to our website at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.